this is Heather Green. Today on Business Week's Cutting Edge podcast, we're talking with Fred Wilson, managing partner at VC firm Union Square Ventures in New York City. Fred's a blogger with his very popular AVC blog and deep in investing in, well, I wouldn't say Web 2.0, at least the changes that the internet is bringing to media. So Fred, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First off, can you just talk about how you started blogging and what you've been learning from it?
It's sort of an accident, I guess, as most things in life turn out to be. I was at a party that Nick Denton, who runs Gawker Media, which is a big blog network here in New York, was having for Mina and Ben Trott, who are the founders of Six Apart, which makes the popular blogging software Movable Type. Mm-hmm. And this was September 2003, so 2.5 years ago now, and they were in town for the launch of their first hosted software product, which is called TypePad. So I was at Nick's apartment, and I met Mina, and she said, well, why don't you blog? And I said, what would I blog about? And she said, oh, I don't know. You can blog about anything. So I went home, and I said to my wife, I think I'm going to blog. It's really easy. I just go to this website called TypePad. I set up an account, and I start writing. So mm-hmm. That was late September 2003. I didn't know what to name the blog. I didn't know what to call it. So I called it AVC, just an ordinary venture capitalist. That's kind of how I had it in my mind, just a random VC. Mm-hmm. And I started writing about venture capital and technology and business. At the time, I was also writing a lot about my family and things I like to do and my hobbies and music. Some of that I've stopped writing about as the blog has become more popular. I've had to make it a little bit less personal and a little bit more focused on business and music, which are the two things I tend to write about. What's funny is that the name AVC has turned out to be a smart name for two reasons. One, a lot of people read blogs in RSS readers,
yeah, right.
Feed readers, aggregators, whatever you want to call them, and they usually organize the blogs alphabetically.
Oh, so you're at the
and
top.
So people told me this. I didn't even know it myself because I tend not to read blogs that way. But my blog always comes up first because mm-hmm. It starts with A. And the other thing is that having the words VC in it end up making it index very high on searches for venture capital and VC on the major search engines. So I guess I named it intelligently, although at the time it seemed like I just pulled something out of the air. It wasn't a very creative name, actually.
So what are you learning from it, or what have you learned from it, and how does it help your business?
Writing is a very, you probably know this better than anybody, but writing is a great way to catalyze your thoughts. And I often will take a topic that an area that we're interested in investing in and start writing about it. And the process of writing about it helps me crystallize my thoughts about what's interesting and what's not interesting, what's potentially strategic and what's potentially risky about a particular sector. So I find it to be a very useful way to actually think structurally about markets and industries that we invest in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably been its single largest benefit. It's caused me to write way more than I've ever written before and think in a fairly disciplined, structured way about things. So in addition to that, I get an enormous amount of feedback. I get, on average, about 5 to 7 comments on every post that I write, and I probably get another 1 or 2 emails that people send to me privately. I'm getting, call it 7 to 10 responses to every idea that I put out there, and that feedback is enormously beneficial in terms of doing due diligence and finding out about other people who are working in the sector, and really expands my network and our network out in a very large way. When I talk to people about this, when I started in the venture business in the mid-80s, the way you kind of did the business was over the phone, and there was a limited number of people you could talk to in a given day. Into the early 90s, we transitioned towards email as being the predominant way that we communicated with the people we work with, and that probably increased by an order of magnitude the number of people we could talk to every day and stay in touch with. And I think blogging takes it up another order of magnitude in terms of the number of people that I can reach and talk to and touch every single day with ideas and thoughts, and that ultimately turns into deal flow. So it's a very powerful tool.
Are there companies that you have ended up investing in or that you've tracked based on what you've learned about them through the blog?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at our current portfolio, including Delicious, which was sold, we have 5, soon to be 6 portfolio companies about a year and a half into this new firm that we started, Union Square Ventures. And three of those companies came about through our activities blogging. I blog personally, as does Charlie O'Donnell, who's an analyst here. And then we also have a blog at unionsquareventures.com, which is written collaboratively by everybody. And those combined efforts have resulted in an investment in Indeed.com, which I actually read about on John Battelle's weblog, search blog, and then contacted the entrepreneurs, and they were aware of us by virtue of my weblog. So that was founded on someone else's weblog, but when I reached out to them, they had already knew who we were and had a positive opinion of us. Delicious, we found through my use of the service as a blogger, as a way to store links, and same is true with FeedBurner. So, you know, half of our portfolio has come to us by our activities related to blogging. And if you take a look at the number of deals we look at as opposed to the number of investments that we've actually closed, I would say it's probably that 50% number is probably a good number there too. I would say about half of our deal flow these days is coming in by virtue of all of the blogging that we're doing. And what's great about that is that it really focuses the deal flow. People know what we're interested in because we talk about it all day long, and so they're not going to send us a biotechnology company. They're not going to send us a specialty retail company. They're not going to send us a new airline. So everybody who's coming and talking to us is coming to talk to us about some new technology-enabled service, and that's the stuff that we're interested in because that's the stuff we talk about.
Is it changing about a year ago or a year and a half ago when you guys raised the fund and started investing? There didn't seem to be that much activity in the area in which you were interested in, right? I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but this new kind of new media companies that rely to a certain extent on information that's generated by people online.
User-generated content production.
Right.
There's a bunch of words you can use for that. I think that's one of several themes that we focus on. On a high level, we're interested in technology-driven services businesses, most of which are resident on the web. Some of them might be resident on the internet, but not the web, like voice over IP services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes there's a web interface, but you could argue that they don't really exist on the web. And there will probably be other examples of that going forward. But some people call that Web 2.0. I think Web 2.0 is just a marketing
word
for the resurgence of investor interest in the internet. So I'm not sure that's a good word for us to use in terms of talking about where our interests lie. But at a high level, we're interested in technology-driven services that are delivered over the internet. Specifically, we're interested in some themes that drive that. One is user-generated content, peer production, open source, that whole world where the audience creates the service as much as anything else. Wikipedia is a good example of that. So that's an area that we're quite interested in. Another area that we're quite interested in is profile-driven services, particularly advertising related. So we're an investor in a company called Dakota, which is in the behavioral targeting area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're interested in anything that people do and how they behave, all that information that's gathered, how that can be used to deliver higher relevancy and higher utility for people, whether it be in advertising or other things. There's a service I like that we're not an investor in called Last.fm, which is a music recommendation service that works that way. I sometimes call that myware as opposed to spyware. So that's another area that we're quite interested in. A third area we're interested in is peer-to-peer networks as opposed to peer production, which is a different phenomena. Peer-to-peer networks like Skype, like the music file sharing systems, are highly efficient ways to distribute content on the internet, and not just content, but bits of all sorts. And we're interested in things that can be done with peer-to-peer architectures to deliver new services to people, and we're actually working on an investment in that category right now. And there's probably a few others, but those are some of the high-level themes that we're interested in. So what we tend to do is we take an area that we're interested in, sort of technology-driven services delivered over the internet, and then we have theses around certain areas that I just described, and we use those theses to sort of drill deep into certain categories, and that's how we do our business.
So, Fred, are you having to change your investment at all, though, with what's going on? I mean, there seem to be a lot more VCs, even a lot more traditional companies that are piling into some of these different areas.
When we went out and raised our fund in late 2003 and early 2004, we were, I think, in the minority in believing that this was the next important sector to be investing in technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're saying is that everybody's come to that realization, and you're absolutely right. So there's a lot more money chasing these kinds of deals. I'd say that our investment strategy has to always be in flux, and it always has to adapt to the changes in the marketplace. And so, yes, we are changing, and we are trying to look forward a little bit more 2-3 years out to see what some new theses that we should be developing to be chasing. At the same time, there's still some fertile ground to be seeded in the areas we're interested in. So I'd say, whereas maybe when we started the fund a year and a half ago, 100% of our focus was on the kinds of things that we've actually invested in, maybe 50 to 60% of our focus is there now, and another 40 to 50% of our focus is on, okay, what's likely to come around the bend in a year, 2 years, 3 years out. You know, I was at eTech and meeting with a couple of people last week who are working on some things that are pretty far out, but we're spending some time thinking about them.
Are you at all worried about whether people are investing in Me Too companies, things that are more like features rather than real companies at this point?
Well, it all starts with the entrepreneur, I think, because venture capitalists can really only invest in companies that are started by entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
So if there were no Me Too companies started by entrepreneurs, there'd be no Me Too companies financed by venture capitalists. I'm not trying to shift the blame for Me Too investing, but I'm just simply trying to make a point. I think what's happened is that as more entrepreneurs have rushed into technology-enabled services and startups around the web over the past couple of years, there are more and more sort of copycats with a twist or Me Too companies. And just take a look at Delicious and the basic idea behind using tagging as a way to create a very lightweight web service that could be used to store information about things you're interested in. There are probably 50 companies, that's just a guess, but
yeah.
I bet you and I could sit down and put together a list of 50 companies that are working on services that could be lumped into that category. So are those Me Too companies, or are those companies that took the germ of an idea that was hatched in and around Delicious and expanded it? It's hard to say, but yeah, it does feel a little bit like there's some copycat stuff going on, and not just in that sector. You look at YouTube and Vimeo, which were early in letting users upload and show video. There's at least 30 companies in that sector now, although YouTube appears to be the clear winner, at least right now,
right,
based on traffic anyway. There is some of that going on, and I think it's just you got to be careful. We would hope not to be doing any of that kind of investing, and we try not to. It doesn't mean that we won't. Sometimes you don't realize you're doing it when you're doing it, but we try to avoid that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Fred. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Heather. Enjoyed it.